And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Covering down some major ground across the southeast U.S. away. Y'all, big old radio footprint, covering up parts of multiple states. And I mean, oh, by the way, there's also a ton of y'all that do the live stream every single day. And I love that. Thank you very much. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact. I say all that to say, no matter where you catch this show, we can see it, we know it, but man, we appreciate it. Thank you all very much for being a part of our lives. We appreciate you. All right. So this is a, speaking of other people that are part of our lives, there's people that make Right Side work that may not be here every day, but Lord, they obviously contribute and they do stuff. And then there's a couple of them that we come on every single week and we do a segment together. And this has been going on for a while now. But let me just go ahead and introduce them for you. So looking northward to the Huntsville region, the diva of dilatory discourse, that would be Lee from Huntsville. Are you there?
I'm here.
I'm glad. That's good. All right. And then closer in proximity, but on video today, that would be the smooth and buttery Butterman. Butters, are you there?
I am here, sir. And congratulations publicly on your nomination.
Thank you very much, my friend. I appreciate that very much. All right, you guys, I pronounce a quorum. Hit me some whoop-whoops. All right, let's do it. You know how this thing works, right? So I ask a question, get y'all's input on some things. We flip the script in the second round. Y'all ask me questions. So round one, first question. I just spent some time with Amy Minton talking about this a moment ago. But the Southern Poverty Law Center, oh boy, the SPLC sponsored a town hall in Gadsden, right down the road from the studio, last night with a group that calls itself Read Freely Alabama. And their whole fight here was about trying to keep sexuality and transgenderism content in the children's section of libraries to the extent that anybody who opposes it's called crazies. And they even at one point were talking about banning the Bible. I just want to get your random thoughts. Lee, you first. What do you got?
I find it interesting because the Bible's in the adult section anyway. And yeah, there may be children's Bibles because, you know, as Christians, as in conservatives, we understand that not everything's appropriate for children, which they seem to have a hard time grasping. And so when you see a children's Bible, it might be, you know, pictures and depictions. But it's, you know, they try to take things and present it in a not so scary way. We're certainly not going to be talking about Samson and Delilah with a bunch of kids, you know? So I'm just saying there's age appropriate and then there's adult content, and they cannot seem to separate the two to save their lives. And they also, this is also about conditioning. It's about making kids feel as if it's normal to talk about drag queens.
Yeah.
I had never even heard of until I got into college. They want to, you know, make sure kids understand it's normal to question, oh, am I a boy or a girl today? Nonsense like that. They want it, but they, it's to condition them that this is okay, and that's where they're wrong.
And by the way, before I go to Butters, what are your thoughts on the fact that it was the SPLC coming into Gadsden to help sponsor the event?
Well, it doesn't surprise me in the least because they're such a corrupt organization that, you know, I still want to know where their money's coming from and what's in the offshore account. But I guess, you know, Morrissey isn't going to ever answer that.
No, not likely anytime soon. All right, Butterman. So the Gadsden Town Hall, SPLC, Read Freely Alabama, banned Bibles, transgenderism stuff for the children's section. What do you think?
So I did a little little searching on this Read Freely Alabama, and in full you know, full fairness of the conversation, they made a post about it on their Facebook page where they said that we have never called for banning the Bible.
Okay.
So not sure if there's some confusion in that, but who knows, since words don't seem to mean much to them at all. Yeah, I mean, y'all have hit the high points. You know, could we get the Southern Poverty Law Center set up as a, I don't know, a terror organization? I mean, it's I honestly guess I'm just not that worried about, like, I mean, they're clearly not having the impact that they want. Like, we're taking things back. And we really don't care about what words you want to use. Also in the Facebook post, they're trying to make fun of Brian Dawson and saying that he's actually calling for book burning.
Brian Dawson from 1819?
Yeah, yep, yep. They refer to the CEO of 1819 saying that he's,
what
he's
made him call
actually
out,
called for book burnings.
What made him call out Dawson, who, by the way, does not believe in book burnings?
Well, they're referencing the 1819 article that, gotcha. that was made about
which,
this.
Which, by the way, so. I will go ahead and say the 1819 article, in all fairness, said that it was a attendee at the meeting that stood up during public comments and said that she thought it was fair to go ahead and try to ban the Bible.
It's all, I mean, I'm much more concerned about the Southern Poverty Law Center and the role they play in all this. I mean, what criteria needs to be done to make them go away?
I don't know, but you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, let's keep in mind that they are the ones that actually branded Charlie Kirk's TPUSA as a hate group. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they actually had the Alabama Policy Institute on there as a hate group at one point. They had the Family Research Council as a hate group. I mean, and these are people who they're the ACLU other, you know, like stepchild kind of group. But they're allegedly there to fight for rights and to clarify constitutional, and they're not at all. What they really are is a liberal progressive organization that hates anything to do with conservative values. And they
I don't understand how they got based in Alabama.
I know they, well, I think they formed up Southern Poverty Law Center. I mean, the original intent was to fight, you know, civil rights issues. And so they based themselves out of Montgomery because that's where, you know, the birthplace of the modern civil rights era was really, you know, rooted. And so, you know, it's kind of lost its way over time.
Mm.
Just saying. Mm. Any further thoughts, Lee?
I mean, they started maybe in a noble way, trying to go after the KKK, but, you know, what they've devolved to is just a group that, you know, wanted to work with liberals in order to, you know, put out some list in order to punish conservatives, because, you know, all in all, that's what they were trying to do. But I just think how far they fell, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, go ahead. What you got, Butters?
I was just going to say, it seems like a pretty good summary of a lot of the Democrats, a lot of Democratic Party, that there were some good things that have started, and a lot of good fights, and then they just never stopped.
Yeah.
And now who knows what they're fighting for.
And now they make it up as they go along. All right, second question. The liberal media is freaking out right now. Of course, they always do. But the liberal media is freaking out right now because Trump is actually building a ballroom attached to the White House. And in the last few days has pretty much maybe completed now tearing down the east wing of the White House. I just want to get your thoughts on this. What are you thinking? Butter, you first.
Well, first, stop with the, I can't believe we're spending tax dollars on this.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure that's been made clear. How that's being funded.
Private donations.
Second, really? Of all the issues that y'all have got to be concerned about, like that's the top, like that's making the news cycle to the extent that that's going to be like 7 days straight of, and then for the actual what he's doing, honestly, I was thinking about, I think it's kind of a good story of America, mm-hmm. right? Like, every so often, we, you know, it stinks in one hand that a lot of our old history kind of gets torn down and we rebuild, but it's also kind of a cool thing that every so often we got to tear some stuff, break some things, and build something new and better. And that's kind of the cool thing of the story of America that we were able to kind of, I guess, reinvent ourselves. And I think it's kind of what Trump's doing with the White House, you know, and that's the beauty of the founding fathers and the very existence of our government. It's designed to break every now and again and come back better and stronger.
Wow. I almost feel like we got to leave it there, but now I have to let Lee talk. That was good. That was good stuff, man. All right, Lee, your thoughts. East Wing torn down, ballroom coming up.
Well, it's only part of the East Wing. And here's the thing. They need something to bash him about. It doesn't matter what's going on. But right now, the Democrats, it's just been hung around their neck that the government shut down, and they can't shake it because it's their fault.
Yeah.
And they need something that they can point to and say, look over here. Well, it's a visual. They show where the machine, the big digger or whatever, is like tearing down part of that building. It's something visual that they can point to and pretend that no other president has changed anything ever.
Yeah.
So it's just the level of ridiculousness of this whole thing before we had to put they had to get tents and put it out there and have people walk through tents. Why in the world, in the greatest country in the world, do we not have a ballroom? I totally 100% agree that we need a ballroom, and we don't need to be pitching tents every time we need to have a large gathering.
That's right.
I mean, we're the biggest economy in the world. It's just embarrassing.
I think you're exactly right. There's a security issue. Think about what this means now. When you have heads of state, when you have the president himself, when you have all of the notables who come there for whatever gathering, whether it be a state dinner or an actual ball, or for that matter, just a large swearing-in ceremony, this is a security issue. The president can now walk down the colonnade at the White House grounds in security and go straight. Every time they do an off-site event, the Secret Service has to spend days in advance getting the place secured and ready. And this is going to be something that in the end is going to wind up saving an incredible amount of manpower and time and increased security. And I think it's going to be beautiful. And it's paid for with private dollars, which I love.
Everybody's trying to go ahead, Butters.
I was just going to say, it's such an American thing, and it's such a Trump thing. And it's, hey, look, we got a problem. All right, I know a guy. Let's get it. Let's get it done.
Let's fix it. I know a guy knows a guy. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
but do you not think that people are calling it and they're saying, "Oh, it's so ostentatious, it's so this or it's so that"?
But it's not.
It looks like every ballroom ever.
It does. It looks like every ballroom ever. It also, you look at the exterior relief of the building, it looks like it fits. And people are just freaking out because it's happened. I've got a list right here in front of me. I can't even bother to go through. I can't even take the time to go through all of it. But all the presidents who have made modifications to the White House, and some of those have been extensive. Some were like just little cosmetic updates, you know, replacing the HVAC. Trump did that last time. Barack Obama installed solar panels, and he tore a whole lot of stuff up to build his basketball court on the White House grounds. You've got Truman that actually, and it was partly to save the building. The building was falling apart. Truman actually gutted the entire interior and rebuilt it from the inside, so it'll last a million years now. The Oval Office was moved by Franklin Roosevelt. On and on and on. The West Wing was built by Taft. I mean, all this stuff is happening over time. And the world is going to, and I guarantee you right now, Gavin Newsom is slobbering over the idea of holding a ball in that ballroom. He just didn't want to say it.
You are 100% spot on.
Okay, we got to take a break right there. So we'll take that break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio with Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, going right back to Butters and Lee. It's round two of Butters and Lee. This is where we flip the script. They ask me questions. I don't know what's coming. I wait and see with bated breath. Ladies first. Lee, what do you got for me?
Well, I didn't get to congratulate you officially yet either.
Thank you, my friend.
And I wanted to congratulate you on your new move to U.S. attorney. And my question is about that.
Oh.
How do you think you're going to make the most difference entering this office just from the start? How are you going to make a difference, and how is it going to change things in North Alabama?
Wow. Holy smokes. The kind of question they probably asked me to avoid when I'm in the nomination process. Now, you know what? I won't speak to the idea of cases. I won't speak to the idea of who I anticipate could be. I have no idea. Grand jury proceedings are secret, so I don't even know what's out there in terms of grand jury world. Here's what I will say. I love the rule of law. I do. I love the Constitution. I consider myself to be an originalist, a strict constructionist. While I may not be the one interpreting the law because I'm not on the bench, I still practice that way as an attorney. I love litigation. I like fighting the cases. I like getting in the courtrooms myself. But I also recognize that I've got an amazing group of people that are already there. And so I look forward to the ability to have a team like that. That is, all these folks in the U.S. attorney's offices are people that could be making a lot more in the private sector, but they chose to go after the cause. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm anticipating is that I'm going to be working with a group of people who know their role, know what they can do, but they're also doing it because it's not a get rich quick. They're doing it because they believe in the cause. And I'm really looking forward to being a part of that. Do I think it's going to make North Alabama better? That's my plan. I believe that conservative values and the leadership that I believe that I have learned and grown and fostered in my life over the years, that I can bring that to bear on the job. So that's off the cuff, but that's my thoughts on it, sister.
Sounds good to me.
Well,
sounds like that's what we need.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Hey, what you got, man?
While you're on that topic, could I humbly submit a request? If you could pull some strings.
Oh, shit. Stop.
When you get in there.
You got
Jeff
parking
from Indiana,
tickets?
Can we get him a police escort daily back and forth on his track?
So. You know, I'll just have to work on that. I just Jeff Rowe from Indiana needs a police escort so he can get through Nashville a little easier on the way down. I like it. And
gotta,
fix and fix
Butter's
parking tickets too while I'm at it, right?
Yeah, gotta prioritize things.
All right, what other question do you have, Butterman?
All right, so it's hitting the news all over. A little aircraft carrier heading down south.
Is that the Ford Carrier Strike Group?
That is. I just noted BBC. There's this U.S. deploys world's largest warship in escalation of drug trafficking. I just love the way they report on this stuff. So here's my question for you. What's your, if you could issue the commander's intent, you could, define, the commander's guidance, what's the defined end state you're given to, the task forces and the joint forces that are getting after this? What are you saying to them? What are we trying to do here?
Yeah, and I guess to take the language you just used, Butters just said commander's intent. As an Army officer, and I'm sure you did it in the Navy too, whenever we issued an operations order, you always started off with the commander's intent. And I got about a minute here, but I'll say this. I think the commander's intent here is very clear. It is to protect and preserve the people of the United States and our sovereign territory from enemies, foreign and domestic, and that includes now what has been named as narco-terrorists, not just narco-traffickers, but narco-terrorist organizations who seek nothing more than their own gain, whether it causes us harm or not, and they've done more to cause loss of life in the United States in recent years than any other terror organization in the history of the world. So I believe that what you're hearing is the commander's intent is to interdict those, to stop them in their tracks, to hopefully deter them from further action, but to stop them like cold with military force as needed to make sure they don't get their junk on our shores anymore. And if that means seizing assets, if that means blowing up boats, if that means taking planes down, if that means putting a JDAM in the middle of a drug lab in a jungle somewhere, I think you're going to start seeing that the commander's intent is very, very clear. All right. Love you both. Thank you very much. Butters and Lee, we'll have you back on again soon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned for some JP on sports.